everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Monday Night Reaction, Browns over the Jets, the news from the New York Giants, Jalen Ramsey trade, but first the possibility of this on a college football sideline near you. Children getting spit on and paralyzed and eaten, potentially, by the Komodo Dragon. Komodo! Komodo! Oh, come on.
You said Komodo?
A Komodo Dragon on UAB's sideline? Are we doing this, people? They spit venom.
What happened?
We'll get to that in a bit. NFL news of the day. The New York Giants naming Daniel Jones starter. Eli Manning backup. It starts this week versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tim Kalishaw, this is your division. We'll start with you. Right move at the right time?
Oh, I think it's the right move. I don't think there's any need to really wait around much longer for this. This season has never been what the Giants were playing for. Once you make those decisions they made on Odell Beckham, Collins, all the rest, Olivier Vernon, it's not about 2019. Daniel Jones looked better than they would have anticipated in the preseason. I guess the good thing out of the first two games, Eli was only sacked twice, so they're getting a little better protection from the offensive line. Now, he doesn't have much in the way of weapons, and I don't know if Pat Shurmur's looking at last year when Tampa Bay had the worst secondary in the NFL. They had a passer rating of 110. They're a lot better defense with Todd Bowles, but there's no reason to wait. What, are you going to wait till they're playing the Patriots? May as well get him out there and see what he's got.
Woody Page, right move at the right time?
No, right move, wrong time. You wait, Tim, until later in the season. You don't do it now. You got two of your top receivers in concussion protocol. Really? Do you want to throw him out there to the Wolves and to throw him out there to the Bucks without any kind of arsenal that he can work with? No, I think you go, because once you've made this move, you can't go back. You can't go back to Eli. It's now Daniel Jones's season. I think you would give him a little bit more efforts at the end of games or in the second half. You don't just throw him in now. I'd have waited three, four more weeks.
Ramona Shelburne, right move at the right time?
Look, I think they were hoping that Eli would make this decision for them one way or another. Well, he would either say, you know, he's going to play really great or he's going to play really bad. You know, they lost the first two games because they have a terrible defense. The only defense in the league that's worse is Miami, and they're trying to lose. You know, Eli hasn't been great, but it's not exactly clear-cut that this has to be the time. And as Woody says, that, you know, Golden Tate's out. Sterling Shepard's out. This isn't exactly setting him up for success. But I think they were making this move at some point. And when you put Daniel Jones in this spot, I mean, he had a great preseason. If you don't go in with expectations, you get to turn it around.
Okay. Jay Adande, from the Giants' perspective, right move, right time?
Tony, it's never the wrong time to make the right move, but it makes you wonder if they should have done this earlier, right? When they did have weapons like Odell Beckham Jr., and they spent the last 2 years with a quarterback who ranked in the bottom third of the league in quarterback rating, when you had a weapon and you didn't take advantage of it. So it makes you wonder, if he was on the tail end of their career, they should have recognized it earlier and made that move. Now, yes, you're getting started on the Daniel Jones era, but maybe you could have gotten a better quarterback if you had addressed the situation
earlier. Never the wrong time to make the right move. That sounds like a deodorant commercial. Well done, Adante. Kalishaw, you want the last word on this? And I have another question after that.
Well, Woody says, you know, a couple guys are out, so he doesn't have his full arsenal. The Giants aren't going to have an arsenal at wide receivers anytime soon. Waiting, you know, for 2 weeks, four weeks. Just get him out there and see.
Yeah, over under 40 touches for Saquon Barkley this week. Woody, you said this before we sat down. I'll ask you right now. You think the Giants are going to consider trading Eli here?
I hope they would. And there's a team that trains in the same place, the New York Jets. The Jets are looking for a quarterback. Why not just say, okay, you want to finish your career in New York? Here's how you do it. And I think he'd be open to that rather than we saw a couple years ago when he was replaced by Geno Smith. Every game they would just show that game. They would just show Eli standing on the sideline. Right. You owe him more
okay.
than this.
I've got every panelist shaking their head no here. Sorry, Woody. Kalisha, please.
There's no. There's not going to be a trade market for Eli Manning since his last Super Bowl win, which is ancient history to GMs. He's got the most interceptions, the most losses of any quarterback in the league. He's immobile. I mean, what are you going to give up, a seventh-round pick? I don't know if you can get that.
And for one thing, he's got a no-trade clause. You'd have to deal with that. And also, he deserves to retire as a Giant for what he's done for that franchise. You know, do you really think he wants to go somewhere at this stage, learn a whole new system, and maybe back up some quarterback that's been nowhere near the accomplishments he's had?
Well, that's the other point. It seems like every move they made over the last 2.5 years has been like, well, let's just make sure Eli has a nice landing here as he retires. Let's see if he can retire without a losing record, because that's what happened this week. He's 500 in his career, and this is when his starts stop. So we'll move on. Let's talk about the other team in New York and their game last night. Browns 23, Jets 3. How much of this was Cleveland? How much of this was the Jets? How much of this was things we never want to see again? Those two Beckham plays aside. Let's start from the Cleveland perspective here. Browns come down from the hype in week one. Baker Mayfield come down from the hype in week one. Overall feeling of week two, most would say maybe non-plus, but let me ask you that question, Woody Page. How did the second impression go of these Browns?
Well, you only have one chance to create a second impression, and I wasn't very impressed by that.
That's
at
a
all.
Hair I mean, shampoo we have commercial. Thank you very much, Woody.
Baker Mayfield continues to be spotty. I think he's throwing loose passes. I mean, that guy has, since he's taken over as the starter there, 18 interceptions. Now, you could be a gunslinger, but you have got to be, I think, better. He does have 29 touchdowns during that period, but again last night I thought he was sloppy with his passes. Their defense is still young. It's still, even though you're playing the Jets. So really, did we get much out of their running game? I didn't think it was very impressive, but I thought all along this is an 8-8-9-7 team. That didn't change last
night. Ramona Shelburne?
You know how different things are? They were 0-16 just a couple of years ago. I mean, I think
the expectation has changed for both the Browns and Baker Mayfield. Can you start with Mayfield specifically?
Yeah, I mean, look, when you compare him against some of the other great rookie quarterbacks or young quarterbacks in this league, he doesn't measure up yet. He's not Pat Mahomes. He's not taking the Browns to the Super Bowl in his first year. But compared to what they've had, like, that's how different this Browns team is. They were 0-16 just a few years ago.
So you're fine with the win last night. You didn't need to see more from this team. Donnie, let me ask you that. Are you thinking you need to see more from for the Browns from what they've shown in 2 weeks?
Yeah, Tony, so far I'd have to grade them an incomplete, much like 16 of Baker Mayfield's 35 passes last night. You know, now we're going to get into the real test. They play the Rams, Ravens, 49ers, Seahawks, and Patriots in this upcoming stretch. I'm amazed Woody didn't look at that schedule, but that's what's coming up right now. So this will give us a real test of where they stand. You got to assume that Baker Mayfield might be the inferior quarterback in each and every one of those games. He always has the chance to outplay those expectations, and if he does, then we can see the progress at this team.
Well, let me ask specifically then, Tim Kalishaw, are you beginning to maybe recalibrate what you think Baker Mayfield can accomplish this season?
I wouldn't do that yet. I mean, I think he's going to be a very good quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be a great quarterback. I still think he's going to be good. He wasn't outstanding last night. Broadcasters made a good point of saying how the Jets would go in motion, make him think they're in man, and then they'd fall, collapse back into zone coverage, and he was getting confused, and he was off with a bunch of his throws. But, I mean, when you're playing an inferior team, sometimes you take longer to put him away. They eventually beat him by 20, so it really, really didn't matter.
Speaking of that inferior team, the state of the New York football Jets. Insult added to injury, added to virus. This team's going mano a mano, Woody Page. Is there anything here to say, or is it all lost, J.A. Adande?
It's all bad. And you know, the announcements, too, we're getting on Adam Gase. You know, what is he doing to help make the most of what they have there? They don't have a whole lot there, but Adam Gase was brought in to improve on what Todd Bowles had done. So far, we haven't seen it, have we?
Tim Kalisha?
Well, you mentioned a minute ago how many touches for Saquon Barkley. How about Le'Veon Bell? Yeah. How many times is he going to touch it this week?
He's very fresh, though.
He's fresh. He took a year off, and now he gets to play with Luke Falk. Who would have guessed that? It's going to be tough. The defense is okay, but they're not going to be able to carry this team.
Woody Page?
They do have a problem because they have a kissing disease. They can kiss the season goodbye. I did look at the schedule here, Jay. They've got the Patriots coming up on the road. They got the Cowboys at home. They got the Eagles on the road. They got a bye. That's their only chance of ending the losing streak. Now, if I were Adam Gase, I would go out and get Brock Osweiler. I know you people are going to laugh, but Brock Osweiler, in Miami, had a 500 record.
All right.
You got nothing else.
So you've had Eli, and you've had Brock Osweiler. All right, you're really turning this season around. Shelford, you want a last word on the Jets? An obituary, maybe?
I mean, I can't sell you on Luke Falk. Anybody? Luke Falk? No?
He looked
all right as a Jets quarterback, Scott.
Yeah. It's the Simeon injury, the way he goes out for the season now. Although this team, I mean, they have a Falk and they have a Ficken. All right, their kicker. That is just like gold for the tabloids. The back page is with a Falk and a Ficken for this team right now. Anything is possible.
Careful,
we'll be back with
Brian himself.
I was very, very specific. Very careful of saying those names.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Rambo Last Blood. The legend comes home in theaters Friday. Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
The NFL going NBA on us. Trades out the wazoo. Steelers trading next year's first round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick this year at 0-2 and no Ben Roethlisberger. This is dumbfounded some. Tim, how do you read it for Pittsburgh?
Well, I will say this. They've had problems with their secondary for years. Fitzpatrick is a versatile player, but unless they have evaluated the entire draft and decided that a safety is what they need, and, you know, they don't know where that pick is. They might have it terribly. That might be the 10th pick in the draft. Could be higher than that if things go poorly. I would never make that kind of move this year.
Jay Adonde?
Yes, Tim, it could be a top 9 pick, something they haven't had since the year 2000 when they got Plaxico Burress at number 8. And maybe they're just confident because they've done so well in later rounds, but I wouldn't pass up this opportunity to get the highest draft pick that they've had this century.
You wouldn't have made this deal, Ramona Shelburne. Are you equally dumbfounded here for Pittsburgh?
No, I actually think this is a vote of confidence in Mason Rudolph. Yeah. They like him as their quarterback, and I think if they were going to trade a first-round pick that, after Ben's out for the year, it would have been for a veteran guy, and they're not doing that. But it also says that they're still trying to win this year, and their defense has been terrible. They've given up 61 points in their first two games. They need something to shore up the secondary, and they still want to win this
year.
And
what do you think of Pittsburgh's move here?
Well, Tone, I'm dumb, but I'm not dumbfounded. I'm along with Ramona on this ride because they haven't given up on the season. If they have a chance to get into the playoffs, they're still in a division race there that they could win. But if they're to get into playoffs, it's going to be their defense that's carried them like it has in the past. And I think if you put him with that secondary, that improves a weaker defense, and they can try to get by offensively. So I like this move. I buy it.
For the Dolphins side of it, their tank currently includes trading away a 22-year-old former first-round pick from 2 years ago who wasn't happy but was their best defensive player, Tim?
It's bizarre, but I will say this. If they were an NBA team, a certain segment of the media would be fawning all over them for the process that they're going through. They got 5 ones and 4 twos the next 2 years. They're going to control those drafts. So
you like what Miami's doing here then, if not fawning over it. Jay, how about you?
Interesting.
Well, I disagree with the philosophy of trying to be as bad, but if you're going to go that direction, their execution has been...
Ramona Shelburne?
I heard a word that I'm becoming very familiar with. Did you say process? Tim, did I hear that?
Yes.
The process that they're going through?
Yes.
I mean, we've seen this in basketball with the Sixers. We saw it in baseball with the Astros. We're seeing it, I guess, with the Dolphins now. It's kind of a matter of time before everybody goes
through it. Woody, Miami's commitment here to this process now and trading away Patrick. Yeah.
What's their choice? Give me a break here. Brian Flores, we're not going to hear him talk about not tanking anymore, though. He's got to keep his mouth shut in regard to that. But they have started down a path they can't stop anywhere along this way. I know that.
The Jalen Ramsey trade demand. One day after Marrone and Ramsey on the sideline, Jaguars reportedly want more than a first rounder. Ramsey came out today, said he wasn't the one who leaked this. His agent wasn't the one who leaked this. He wants the bleeping win. That's what he said. Jaguars play Thursday night, so this might be quick, or maybe it's going to be something that's going to be a little bit awkward. Buy or sell Jacksonville trading Ramsey, and then also on top of that, Woody, who do you think should make a play for him?
Well, I believe it's that Tom Coughlin's behind this. It doesn't matter what Ramsey wants. It's Coughlin, whether he wants to, somebody who's caused a lot of problems since he's come there in regard to his mouth, which tends to get him in trouble. And the team that should come after him, they've improved their defense a bit this year, but they could certainly get over the top if the Chiefs were willing to trade a draft choice, which will be low next year, but also throw in one of the younger players. From
you believe it'll be a first-round pick? If the Chiefs throw out a first-round pick, that could be, what, 29, 30? Is that going to...
Well, but you throw, you give them one of their your young players that doesn't fit in.
Tim Kalishaw?
Yeah, if I'm Jacksonville, I'm not too excited about Kansas City's pick. There are some teams that could take this risk. You watch Philadelphia's secondary and you wonder what he could do for them. But I mean, this is a volatile player to say the least, and he's near the end of that rookie contract. It's not like Fitzpatrick where you've got all these years that you can, you know, it's already laid out for you.
J.A.?
Yeah, those are among the reasons that the Jaguars are dealing from a position of weakness, not to mention the fact that everyone can see that one of their key players can't stand to be in the vicinity of the head coach. Not ideal trading situation, but there are reports out there, including by our own Diana Rossini, that there's teams willing to offer a first-round pick. So if you can get that for them, you have to make the deal.
Ramona Shelburne.
You know, it almost reminds me of the conversation we'd have about Odell Beckham Jr. when he was with the Giants. Like, when you're on a bad team and you're a competitive guy like this, you're going to keep having incidents. And I think the Jaguars just know, like, his time there has run its course. But he's still a really good player. And I actually believe him when he says he just wants to win. His eruptions and his frustrations really just seem to come down to this team sucks and he disagrees with some of the play calls. Mm-hmm.
And any team you think should make an offer for him, Ramona? Anybody?
I mean, yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, look, this is a guy who wants to win. He can still play, and I think there's a lot of teams out there that will take that risk. I know he drove a Brinks truck into camp this year, but he's still under contract through 2020.
Yeah, I know he drove a Brinks truck into camp. Okay, I said this before. Let's flesh this out a little bit. The NFL and all the trades that are happening now. Players affecting change, grabbing for control. Steve Young said this pregame. This is in an NBA way. And he said that's not a good thing. The league should try to grab the power back. Ramona, where do you come down on this? How do you view it?
I think that there's a reason why the NBA is becoming one of the most popular sports in the world, because we have all this trade talk. We have all the drama all the time. And, you know, the NFL should be happy. We're not talking about concussions and off the field incidents. We're talking about intrigue and trades.
Okay. And NFL already is one of the most popular sports in the world, though. I mean, this is
yeah.
Woody Page. Would the NFL be better if there were more trades?
Yeah, I think so. We come to the NFL trading deadline every year. People don't even know what the date is because nobody's traded in early November. So I think this has a little bit of intrigue, a little of excitement. Players can try and get traded, and you can improve your team because of this.
Tim Kalishaw?
I think it makes sense.
There's two different things here. Would the NFL be better with more trades? Yes. I've always thought they needed more player movement that way. Would it be better with more players demanding trades? You know, every time their team goes 0-2? No, I don't think that's a positive for any league.
Jay Adonde?
Free agency didn't ruin the NFL, right? That was empowering the players. If there's a negative trend, an NBA-like trend that we're seeing in the NFL, it is the tanking, the processing like we're seeing the Miami Dolphins doing. What's worse for the league, players having power or teams intentionally ruining themselves and putting out an inferior product out there?
All right, Tim, you're going to demand a trade for us right now. Ramona Shelburne, you can try to get on the jump full-time, get on PTI right now. Is that what's going to happen?
Scoring average. That's good enough for me.
All right. Woody Page and J.A. Adonde in showdown. Woody Page at 599 and a half wins. Is this today the day he gets 600? We'll find out next.
Stay tuned.
There's Crispy. And then there's Crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
All right, Woody Page, let's see what you got. Showdown 1, the Colts sticking with Adam Vinatieri. And Adam Vinatieri sticking with the Colts. Some thought he might retire. He said that never crossed his mind. He's missed 5 kicks in 2 weeks, Woody. How would you describe this relationship right now?
Well, it's a little bit tenuous, but the guy over his career, a long, illustrious career, has converted 86% of his field goals and 98% of his extra points. You really want to give up on him after a 2-game slump? No, don't do that.
Yeah, Woody, he's made almost 98% of his extra points. He's missed 3 out of 5 so far this season. Sometimes when it goes quickly. Now, think about it. Almost anybody else, any kicker that missed 3 out of 5 extra points would be gone. He wouldn't even be on the plane flight home.
Mm.
This is ceremonious. That's how I describe the relationship right now. It's ceremonious.
Hey, Adande with the point. We'll move on. Showdown 2. We need a screen grab for this quote. Ready? Let's put it on the board. Yes.
Yes.
Children getting spit on and paralyzed and eaten potentially by the Komodo dragon. I thought it seemed like a great idea, but apparently it's not as good an idea as I once thought. That's UAB Athletic Director Mark Ingram on his dream to have a Komodo dragon on site at football games. Said this to the AL.com. Are you pro Komodo dragon or con Komodo dragon on the sideline of a football game, Jay?
I have to say no to the Komodo. When you look at that, I still can't understand that quote. Did he think children getting spit on and potentially paralyzed was a good idea until he thought about it longer, or did the whole package come bad? Remember Phil Bronson always got his toe beat off Sharon Stone's husband?
Jay, wait. I am pro-co. Memo to Mark Ingram. Don't stop dragging my heart around. I want to have the Komodo dragon walking down the sideline of the visiting team every day.
Not winning. That's 600 on the dragging my heart around. They are the UAB Blazers, by the way.
Oh, yeah. That was my best stuff.
Well, your best not good enough today, Woody. J.A. Adande, 30 seconds of faith.
Good to be back in victory circle here. As we look around at the NBA talking about doing something about tampering, instituting a $10 million fine, well, we've seen in a lot of other cases, right, the punishment isn't necessarily a deterrent. And the previous fines didn't do anything to deter the tampering. And just because you increase it, you really think Steve Ballmer is afraid of having to break off $10 million? Part of the biggest problem is we rarely see these prosecuted, right? So it's not like teams were getting caught and punished and were undeterred by the fine. They weren't getting caught and punished at all. How are you going to do it now?
Yeah.
You know, Woody, I think we need a $10 million fine for your line right there. That's going to do it. Tomorrow's another day.
He went for it, though.
Yeah.